Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans training camp set to begin here coming up in just a few minutes over at St. Thomas Sports Park. So looking forward to that happening this morning. I had Mike Vrabel on the show earlier this morning. You'll be able to hear that interview again coming up at 9:30 if you missed it at 7 o'clock this morning. Some great stuff from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel as the Titans now approach training camp. And Joe Rexrode on the way to St. Thomas Sports Park at the moment to attend a press conference for Titans general manager John Robinson as well. So, Joe Rexrode, do we have you with us here as you travel on your way over to St. Thomas Sports Park?
How do I sound? Is my voice milky and smooth?
Oh, it sounds great.
This way too?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Sound.
Maybe we should just do it like this from now on.
Maybe so. It sounds.
Just sit in my car.
That's right. So, Joe, your colleague at The Athletic, Mike Sando, and we've been looking forward to this. You actually brought it up yesterday about the quarterback tier rankings. He comes out every year with the NFL quarterback tiers and basically talks with 50 coaches and evaluators to rank the starting quarterbacks in the league and separates them by tier. So tier one and tier two, tier three, and tier four. And we always have brought this up. Ryan Tannehill last year ranked in tier three by the coaches and by the people involved in this interview. And I think if you've watched Ryan Tannehill since he took over as quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, he has played to a much higher level than a tier three quarterback in this league. So the question is, where does Tannehill rank in this year's rankings? And you look around at Tier 1. There are only two guys in Tier 1 that got unanimous votes. And they're not going to surprise anybody. Aaron Rodgers, a unanimous Tier 1 quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes, a unanimous Tier 1 quarterback as well. Tom Brady, also in Tier 1. He did receive 9 votes for Tier 2. Russell Wilson in Tier 1. And Deshaun Watson in Tier 1 as well. Those were all of the Tier 1 quarterbacks. In Tier 2, guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford in Tier 2 as well, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert finds his way into Tier 2 in the second year of the ranking, or his second year of playing the NFL, Matt Ryan in Tier 2, Kyler Murray, and finally, coming in at number 13, also still in Tier 2, Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. So, Joe Rexrode, Tannehill in Tier 3 last year, moves up to Tier 2, and according to Sando, got 27 votes for Tier 2, 23 votes for Tier 3. So, still pretty close in that regard, but Tannehill officially moving up a spot, a Tier 2 quarterback in the NFL, according to the rankings at theathletic.com.
Yeah, well, I would say that, first of all, certainly that's the right tier. I don't know that there's like a ton more respect for him there, but it's the right tier for sure. He's tier two. So from that perspective, a little bit of a bump for Tannehill that he deserved. There's still plenty of disrespect to be. I mean, I think he's behind people he shouldn't be behind. I think a lot of those names you just mentioned, you can really debate overall, and you can't debate his performance versus a lot of those guys in the most recent season and a half. He has flat out outperformed a lot of those guys. And, you know, Herbert is, he's just a roundly overrated quarterback right now, who I think is going to be very good. But there's still in these comments, you know, some real nice juicy disrespect for Tannehill. The one I'll agree with is, you know, I think it was an OC, you know, said, I'm bothered by, you know, the Baltimore game. There were moments in that game where the Titans needed him to, you know, to step forward and take over and win that game, and he didn't. And I think that's fair. I do. But then someone else is talking about, like, the Cleveland game, you know, which was 1-0 by halftime. I mean, you can nitpick a lot of things. I still think there's a general sort of doubt or dubiousness about Tannehill that I don't think he should have anymore.
Yeah, and to that point, I mean, I think the perception is turning around a little bit on Ryan Tannehill, and as Sando points out to begin kind of the paragraph on him, quote, The 27 votes for Tannehill in Tier 2 exceed by 3 his combined total in 6 previous appearances on the quarterback tier's ballot. So he's not really ever been all that close to Tier 2 before, and now he is. He's found his way into Tier 2. And Sando quotes a former NFL head coach on here and says, quote, "He is a 2 for sure, and he may be verging on a number 1, but he's been helped by that system a lot. He has become a very good decision maker. That is one thing that is lost, and it's the number one thing you look at for evaluating these quarterbacks. The physical part is there with all these guys with some variance, but the guys that are the best decision makers." What goes into that? Understanding the offense, what the defense is doing, vision, and pocket presence as well. So some pretty high praise there from Ryan Tannehill. To your point, I mean, he's still technically at number 13 on this list, and you know, guys like Kyler Murray are ahead of him. And with all due respect to Matt Ryan, like, you know, I don't think Matt Ryan is as good of a quarterback right now as Ryan Tannehill is. You know, Justin Herbert is ranked number 9 on this list. Dak Prescott is right there with Herbert as well. So I think probably still some guys that Tannehill belongs ahead of. But at least, I guess if you're a Titans fan, you know, there was so much conversation last year about Tannehill in Tier 3. Like, what are you talking about? And it looks like, at least to some degree, that's starting to turn around a little bit.
Yeah, and those are good comments. And I think that's exactly what people who watch him have seen, is that he's very good at diagnosing things, getting the ball out. He stands in there really well, and you know, he'll take a hit if needed to make a throw. You know, just play after play, game after game, you know, he's been very consistent. So there's some indication of people actually watching. I think more people will watch him this year, and it'll be a big year, obviously, just in terms of, you know, how he's perceived as a quarterback in this league. But it's still like just the system, you know, the system helps him greatly. What quarterback who's in any, you know, any sort of situation of success in the NFL isn't helped by the system? What quarterback isn't a system quarterback?
Well, that goes back to that conversation. Like a system quarterback, that term is thrown out there as kind of a derogatory term. But, I mean, there's not a quarterback out there that's not a system quarterback to some degree. Now, can guys like Mahomes and guys like Rodgers extend plays and do things that really have nothing to do with the system? They're just naturally that gifted? Yes. And I realize that there's a difference, but I think that term gets thrown around way too much in today's NFL. Everybody, to a degree, is a system quarterback.
Right. Now, that's also – I've had these debates before with people on various quarterbacks. The game manager versus the playmaker. You know, that's – so the playmaker is more like the Rodgers, the Mahomes, you know, the – like you said, off-schedule, broken play, do ridiculous things. You know, I mean, you might look at Tom Brady and say he's like the quintessential game manager. But the thing is about Tannehill also, and this is probably the number one thing that I didn't realize until starting to watch him all the time, is I think he's awfully good as a playmaker too. Broken plays, he's really athletic. He can, if he gets out there, he can make plays with his feet. But he's just. As long as Derrick Henry's behind him, that's just always going to be part of the discussion around him. But at least it looks like more people are watching him play, so that's a positive.
When we come back, we will continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans opening up training camp on the field today. What is our biggest concern for the Titans? What are we most confident in the Titans as they break for training camp today over at St. Thomas Sports Park? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning, coming up at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans opening up training camp today. Rex Road on his way to St. Thomas Sports Park as we speak. And Joe, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Lots of things going on for the Titans heading into this camp. Lots of different storylines. If I had to ask you now, what is your biggest concern about this Titans team heading into training camp? what would your answer be? What is your biggest concern about this Titans team?
I mean, is the defense too big of an answer?
It's a big answer.
Is that not specific enough?
No, you need to get more specific.
It's a big answer. I need to get more specific than that? Okay. Well, I would say, although I do think that kicker is definitely a big storyline, and it's a really important thing that this team finds a kicker. And while I would also say that I still have my doubts about the tight end room, top to bottom, that it's enough, I would have to say the biggest concern is that the two most important additions to a defense that needs a desperate makeover are uncertain right now in terms of health. Now, I think one of them is a bigger, you know, the one who is going to be critical, we know, for this to have any chance of improving is less of an unknown, right? Bud Dupree, we're not going to see a lot of him in camp. The timeline for an ACL repair and rehab suggests that, you know, right around the start of the season, he should be close to ready, and then we'll see. I mean, I guess you still could say, okay, but what if he's, you know, missing the first couple of games, or what if he's just really limited for the first month? Like, what does that do to the bottom line? It could have an impact. But that's still less of an unknown than the least important of the two, who still is very important, and that's Caleb Farley, the first-round pick. I mean, if Caleb Farley has a long, productive career as a number one corner, and he's as good as the Titans think he is when he's healthy, and he gets healthy in a reasonable amount of time, then you know what? Then they've still done well with that pick. I mean, there was no absolute guarantee, you know, Caleb Farley was going to be a starter. I mean, it's very possible that the starters, even if Caleb Farley is there today from day one participating, the starters could still end up being Christian Fulton, Janoris Jenkins, and then Elijah Molden in the slot. That's possible. But it's obviously something to watch. And you know, when you think about injuries in this league and depth and that position and how much the Titans need help defending the pass, it's really important to me that he at least carve out some kind of a role this season and demonstrate that he has gotten past the back stuff. Back stuff is just so much less predictable and really problematic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's certainly going to be a big thing to watch for the Titans in training camp for sure. Joe Rexroth, we know that you've got to go check in with Titans general manager John Robbins, so we'll let you go ahead and do that, and we'll check back in with you to close out the show a little bit later.
I will. Yes, we are going to talk to John Robinson here soon, and I will, final segment, I will report back in. I may be talking like a golf announcer calling the Masters, you know. Hello, everybody. John Robinson just addressed us, but I will check back in and let you know what J-Rob told us.
Well, we are very much looking forward to that. Joe Rexroth will be back with us a little bit later in the show as he discusses what's going on now with John Robinson. He's speaking with the media here in just a few minutes. So Joe going to be a part of that. And if you missed it earlier in the show, Mike Vrabel joined us at 7 o'clock. We'll have that interview coming up for you at 9:30. So here in about 10 minutes or so, you'll be able to hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel as the Titans are in advance of training camp right now. It's interesting. Like, Mike Vrabel yesterday at his introductory press conference, he talked about the kicking position. And right now, you've got Blake Hallbill there. You've got Tucker McCann there as well. And those are the guys that they're rolling with at the moment. Now, Goskowski's name was brought up yesterday with Mike Vrabel at the press conference, and he didn't shut it down, essentially saying, you know, until everybody's retired in the league, they're theoretically an option, and that the Titans, you know, things don't go well, and they feel like at some point during training camp, they need to pursue Steven Goskowski or anyone else, the Titans are free to do that at this point. So, you know, a lot of people have just assumed that Goskowski is going to come back and that he is ultimately going to be the kicker for the Titans. I don't think yesterday did much to dissuade that way of thinking. I still think that that's very much a possibility that's on the table for the Titans to have Goskowski come in and kick. But we'll see what ends up happening on that front. It's obvious. I mean, they like Tucker McCann. I think that's pretty apparent at this point. He's hung around for over a year at this point, and Vrabel touched on yesterday the injuries that McCann has dealt with. But it's obvious. They feel like they've got something there. So I'm interested to see what happens on that front. That's a big concern, I think, going into camp here. We've talked about it the last couple of years. The kicking game at times has been a big problem for this team, and they overcame it a couple of years ago where, you know, essentially down the back half of that stretch, they weren't kicking very many field goals. I mean, they were getting in the red zone. Derrick Henry was taking care of business. Ryan Tannehill was awesome in the red zone, and they were scoring a whole lot of touchdowns and didn't need much from their kickers. You know, Gostkowski at the first half of last year, you know, inside of 50 yards, he was just as likely to miss it as he was to make it. And then he got much better in the second half of the season last year as that progressed. But that's a big area of concern to watch here. You know, it's one of those things, and Joe brought this up earlier in the show. I guess if your biggest concern heading into a training camp or a season is at kicker, probably doing okay as a football team. And I'm not saying that's the Titans' biggest concern. I think it's up near the top of the list in terms of things that you need to be worried about and monitoring if you're a Titans fan. And then the other side of that is you shift from concern to, I think, just pure excitement. And that's one of the reasons where I think it's so unfortunate that you can't have fans in training camp this year, because there's a lot of excitement about this offense. They've got construction going on and COVID protocols and all these different things. So there's not going to be any fans watching Titans training camp. But with Julio Jones coming into this offense, there is a lot of excitement about this. And we brought up a piece earlier that was put out at NFL.com. Mike Giardi wrote a piece about Julio Jones and just the impact that he could have on this Titans offense. And there's a couple of different interesting elements to it that I think is going to be really fascinating for the Titans to watch. And that is, like, how do you change your usage? Like, we've talked so much about how good this offense has been with Derrick Henry leading the way and how dynamic he's been the last couple of years. Conventional wisdom says keep going with that and keep letting Derrick Henry tote the rock. Keep letting Derrick Henry be the player that he is. But it's interesting to look back, and Giardi pulled up these numbers from Todd Downing, who's the offensive coordinator for the Titans this year, during his time in Oakland at the time where he was offensive coordinator for the Ravens in 2017. They went in 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, one tight end, and one running back. They were in 11 personnel 71.3% of the time with Todd Downing in that offense in Oakland. You know, the Titans have run some 11 personnel, and they've certainly had some packages where they've gone three wide. They've also spent a lot of time with two tight ends and, you know, playing kind of that older school style of football with Derrick Henry running the ball, you know, 400 times like he did last year. Does that change with Julio Jones coming into the mix? Are you in 11 personnel a little bit more? Are you utilizing Josh Reynolds in the slot? I think that's going to be really fascinating because, you know, as Giardi points out in this piece, he's quoting an AFC executive back in May, right around the time that the Julio Jones rumors were starting to pick up. And the executive says, quote, "Julio Jones can change the entire calculus of your offense." And I get it. He's 32 years old. He's a guy that, you know, at some point, father time is going to catch up, and he's not going to be the same player that he's been throughout his career. Maybe he's already not the same player, but I think he's pretty close if he's not the same player that he's been. And that's still a guy that can totally change the foundation of your offense and totally change the way the defensive coordinators view your team. So if that's the case, and Julio Jones is still that guy, would it not make more sense for the Titans to kind of build around that and to utilize that and to go that way a little bit more? We had Vrabel on earlier, and you'll hear part of that interview or part of that answer coming up in his interview later in the next segment about, are you going to throw the ball a little bit more this year with Julio Jones coming in? Could this be the best team that Mike Vrabel and the Titans have had as they head into training camp now? Some interesting responses coming from Mike Vrabel in that interview, but it's going to be really fascinating, in my opinion, to see how Todd Downing utilizes this offense, the personnel groupings that come into play, and how many receivers they're comfortable putting on the field. Like, I think the top three is pretty much set in stone. You've got Des Fitzpatrick, who you just selected as well. What's the bottom half of that receiving room going to look like? I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how that shakes out. Taking your thoughts on our text line on the Titans as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben texting in, "With all the question marks on the Titans, it's not likely that the majority of them turn out on the positive side, at least not this year. I think this will negate the addition of Julio and Bud Dupree, which will equal the team being worse, especially with coordinators. 10-7 and a first-round exit. So Ben predicting a 10-7 season for the Titans and a first-round exit in the playoffs. Look, I don't know. I'm not saying that that's a crazy thought. I think the expectation for this team is going to be higher than 10-7. We talked about it yesterday. Like, what's it going to take to win the AFC South? Is it going to be 11-6? Is it 12-5? Are you going to have to go 13-4 to win the AFC South? I mean, my guess would be probably in the 11-6, 12-5 range if you're the Titans. I think 10-7 with this group would probably be viewed as a disappointment. There are high expectations on this team. We've had people talk about maybe the Titans going 13-4 this year. I don't know that they're going to get to 13 wins, but there are very high expectations with this group as they head into this season. It's going to be fascinating to see how the Titans, Mike Vrabel, and the players in this room manage those expectations, which largely have to do with Julio Jones coming into the mix as well. And we'll get to Julio Jones and a lot more coming up next with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We had him on earlier in the show. We'll have that interview for you coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well. We caught up with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel a little bit earlier in the show as the Titans head out to training camp today. And by the way, 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of the Titans training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. Here was our conversation earlier in the day with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel as they prepare for the first day of training camp coming up a little bit later today. Welcome in head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel. Mike, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Mike, I want to start with, the introductory press conference yesterday back in person. Joe Rexroads made it clear here on the show he's really going to miss the Zoom chats and the chat room in there. Are you going to miss those Zoom chats? What did you think of getting back in person and seeing the beautiful faces of the media yesterday?
Yeah, no, I missed all my friends, and I enjoyed it. It was fun to be back out there. Joe was front and center. We'll get Teresa back from the Olympics, and we'll be ready to roll.
Did you have any idea Teresa was going to be there asking the first question, Mike?
She always asks the first question. So wherever she's at, we find a way to make it happen.
So we're going to count on this every day then? Like 2 a.m. Teresa in Tokyo?
I don't know about that. We'll find out today. I'm not really sure. They haven't updated me on what if Teresa's asking the question today.
So how different does it feel now? Even just that and now today as you prepare to go out there, does it feel a lot different than a year ago?
I mean, I think it feels different, but I think we have to be careful. I mean, this thing, you know, we've had, you know, and everybody knows vaccinated people that have, you know, tested positive. And so we have to be careful. We have to be mindful of our safety of our team and our families and everything. And so, there is hope that there can be some normalcy, but I think we all have to be responsible and understand how to keep people safe the best we can.
So, Mike, how exciting is this time of year as a coach? Obviously, a brand new season coming in, training camp getting underway today. What's the message for your group heading into camp, and how exciting is this time of year for you personally?
Well, man, I think it's exciting to be around players. It's exciting to coach. It's exciting to, you know, try to help develop players and then try to build a team. And what we have to do is lay a foundation and build a foundation on what we believe is important, fundamentals, accountability, you know, our effort and our competitiveness. And so those are all things that you have to do every training camp.
Mike, you were asked a question yesterday about, you know, how you've changed or evolved as a coach, and you got into a little bit of maybe being more involved, I guess, with the personal lives of these players. I just wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. Like, how does that work for you? Is it like more phone calls with guys, just, you know, more guys coming to you to talk to you about life and things like that? Like, how has that changed? How does it work for you?
Well, I mean, I think that those relationships you know, that we all, you know, all make at wherever we work, I think that you have to work on them and you have to try to foster them and grow them. And so that's done a lot of different ways. You know, text messages, grabbing guys, making sure that, you know, certainly that we're available and that we, you know, we're there to listen and support and help and provide whatever resources we can as a team or a coaching staff to help anybody to deal with things to make their jobs easier when they get here.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, just what have you learned in your experience as a coach on how to navigate a team through training camp, obviously trying to balance getting the work that they need, but also making sure they're as healthy as possible heading into the season? What's that balance like for you and your staff?
I mean, I think it's a fine line, and I don't think it's anything that you can commit to. You know, you try to go through and have a schedule for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of training camp, and you have to make one, but then you have to also be willing to adjust that. Guys may need less work. Guys may need more work. Taking some practice reps away, seeing how many days in a row that we're going, high-volume days, days in pad. So all that has to change, and I think you just have to be willing to adjust and always try to do what's best for the football team and then do what's best for each and every player. I mean, everybody's got a plan. You know, there's going to be guys that have different plans, and we've told them that. We've explained that to the team, but as long as everybody's working and doing their plan, you know, as hard and well as they can, you know, hopefully we'll come out, you know, with the healthiest possible team and guys ready for the season.
Is this the best team you've had here?
I mean, we're undefeated now, so hopefully, you know, we can try to continue to build on that. I really, you know, I don't get caught up in that too much. You know, I mean, I think my example to the team was, do we think that the United States has better basketball players than France? I'm sure that they are, but they lost to them. So we're really making sure that we're concentrating on the team and focus on building a team and, you know, that's got as many great players on it as possible, making them better, trying to help them improve, but being mindful of building a team in all three phases.
And I know, Mike, you every once in a while you'll be asked about something, especially like the disrespect angle. You know, the media, the conversation around your team relative to the NFL, and you dunk on that every time you get asked. But I do wonder, how much do you use that at all in terms of going into a particular game, going into a season? I mean, do you use the media or whatever, lack of disrespect in any way as a chip on your shoulder kind of thing?
I mean, I hope that we always have a chip on our shoulder. You know, I mean, I think that that's a great way to approach, you know, life is with a certain edge. And, you know, there's a fine line between that, but... No, I mean, there's a lot of things that we use to try to help, you know, really not trying to motivate anybody. I think guys are motivated. I think we're just trying to inspire them to do their job a little better and have some confidence and trust in what they're being taught. But, I mean, we're not at that stage right now, Joe. Like, we're focused on, you know, that this is a different time. This is a time to get out there and try some new things and start to build a foundation and not necessarily worry about, you know, whatever respect level that we have, you know, in the preseason power rankings.
Mike, obviously Titans fans very excited about the addition of Julio Jones and what he can bring to this team on the field. Just wondering, from your perspective, what have been your initial impressions in working with Julio Jones? What do you hope he brings on the field? What do you hope he brings in the locker room with your group as well?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a certain level of production that he's exhibited through his career that you know, is something that would be beneficial to our football team. We have to continue to, you know, everybody's kind of got to figure each other out, and haven't spent a whole lot of time with Julio, but the time that I think that he's spent here has been positive, has been encouraging, and so, you know, hopefully he can bring some of that veteran leadership, you know, and then obviously the most important is that he does his job on the football field.
Is it going to be more airing it out this year, Mike? I mean, just in general terms, do you look at someone like that and say, you know, maybe we need to be a little bit more pass heavy? You talked about, you know, health of players. Do you think in terms of at the beginning of the season, maybe a little bit less work for Derek? So, you know, in January when you guys hope you're in a playoff game, he's a little fresher. Do you think about that at the beginning of a year?
No. I don't think we lost to the Ravens because Derek wasn't fresh enough.
Mike, obviously,
I mean, we can throw. You know, I mean, I just think we needed to be balanced. You know, I mean, I think that's the thing we talk to, you know, to Todd about all the time is just making sure that we have things that can get us in the best play. I think that's the, you know, that's what we always want to be mindful of is that, you know, we feel like we have a strength and that's an identity to be able to, you know, run the football. You know, we've seen Derek be able to do that, also been able to play off of that. And so we'll know if the situations or the game and dictate that we may have to throw it more. You know, we'll continue to work on that proficiency and making sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can do to protect the quarterback and get guys open.
How unique is Derek in terms of his ability to take on this workload and not really get a serious injury at this point in his career and be as effective as he is in a league where, you know, as you know, running backs have the shortest shelf life?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a testament to him and how he works. And he is unique from a size standpoint, from a length standpoint. Certainly his long speed is something that we've witnessed. And durability, and that the durability is something that can't be overlooked. I think a lot of that has to do with his mindset, with his training, and you know, so that is something that we've, you know, we've been able to rely on, and but that's all a testament to Derek.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Mike, you brought up Todd Downing there. And Ryan Tannehill's talked about, you know, his relationship with Todd and how comfortable he is with him. What was your comfort level with Todd Downing, and why did you feel like he was the right guy to fit in here and continue along with this offense?
Well, I mean, I got to watch him work and watch him support and assist Arthur in a lot of different facets, and, you know, really very comfortable and being able to promote him within our system. And so I felt like was the best decision for us and for our football team. And I know that we're excited to get that process started.
All right, Mike, I want to throw a few quick hitters at you here to close. First of all, quick thought on this college football expansion. Would you like to see Ohio State join the SEC?
I'm a BC fan.
Well, BC could be in the Big Ten, too, potentially.
There you go.
I was going to ask you about BC.
Not this year.
That's right. I was going to ask you about BC. So, Tyler, junior year, right? And are you going to be able to go to the Wake game then? Is that right?
Friday night.
That's the weekend you guys are up there, right?
Okay, so it depends on what time the game is. Tell them to put the game at 4 o'clock, and we'll leave here at noon, and I'll go to the game.
There we go. All right.
I think there's a Friday night game, though, that I can get up to and back.
So. Oh, okay. You got one earlier. Okay, nice.
I did see that. I think it's a Thanksgiving one. Right, so we'll see.
11 years ago, you retired, Mike. How different is the league just in terms of even just bigger, faster, stronger now from your perspective as a coach?
Yeah, it'll always do that. That's what the human race does. It's always, you know, there's freaks that are continuing to be freaks, and you know, I think it was evident when, you know, Byard or somebody retweeted me having an interception, and I looked at it. I'm like, Jesus! Like, back in the day, I felt like that was a 40-yard return, and I look at it now, and it just looked like I was running in quicksand. I'm like, oh God, that's disgusting.
You can always go back to like NFL films from the 50s. I talk about lumbering. I mean, you looked like, you know, you look like you're running a 4.5, you know, compared to like Bednarik.
That's the nature of this league, and it's, you know, the athletes are going to continue the training, the technology, the everything is just going to continue to improve.
Well, Mike, we're excited to see you guys back on the field later today. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck, and we'll talk to you a little bit later down the road.
Probably not, but I appreciate it. No, I'm just thank you, guys.
Thanks, all right, Mike. Thanks, appreciate Mike. You, man. Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Vrabel had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds begin a six-game homestand at First Horizon Park against Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:50, and first pitch is at 7:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Mike Vrabel for joining us a little bit earlier in the show, discussing his team as they now head into training camp. And speaking of training camp, our own Joe Rexroad is out at St. Thomas Sports Park at Titans training camp, where Titans general manager John Robinson has just addressed the media. Joe, welcome back into the show. What did J-Rob have to say out on the field today addressing the media?
Yes, so basically the message that this team is 90% vaccinated, which I take as sort of a decision to, you know what, let's just get this, make this clear before, because look, what happened yesterday after Vrabel's presser, there was a lot of speculating. Well, did he not say, you know, we talked about it earlier on the show. Did he not say anything because it wasn't good? Did he not say anything because it's just what he does? And look, I hate to say I'm right when I'm right, but I will say I'm right. You agreed with me too. I didn't take that as anything because he's not going to do it. So Robinson came out and said, here, we're 90%. So there you go. So all the concern about this team's in bad shape. Well, actually, they're in great shape.
Yeah, really good shape. 90% vaccination numbers. That's great news for the Titans. And, you know, as Vrabel said yesterday, I mean, that doesn't really change much for unvaccinated players. Like, you know, other leagues have operated with the 80% or the 85% threshold that you're trying to reach at that point. But Vrabel, you know, pointed out yesterday at his press conference, like, I don't know where people are getting that number from. It doesn't change much. If you're an unvaccinated player in the NFL, you probably got to wear a mask at all times and have protocols very similar to what you had last year. So I found that yesterday pretty interesting that Vrabel pointed that out.
Right. So that's the thing. If the NFL had rules like other sports leagues, the Titans would be above the threshold and they'd have like collective benefits beyond the individual player-by-player benefits and coach-by-coach benefits. But that's not how it is. But bottom line is when you are – you know, when you're at this high a level, you know, the whole thing with the NFL essentially threatening forfeits for teams that have outbreaks through unvaccinated players, I mean, that it becomes way less of a concern. And you know, look, I mean, also the Titans, and this happens a lot in sports and real life. I mean, the NFL now, you can look at the NFL and say, NFL is trying to lead society, right? I mean, the NFL has responded and you've got a lot of people getting vaccinated, making the decision, and kind of a leader in society. You know, people look at the NFL, look at other sports leagues that have done this and why it's important to do it.
So, Joe, you're now out at Titans training camp. We've already seen some videos starting to come out. Julio Jones on the field, A.J. Brown on the field as well. What's the most exciting thing to you today? What are you most looking forward to today at Titans training camp as day one with players on the field is underway?
Can you hear that bass bump in the background?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting after it out there.
And I tell you what, I'm quite a ways away from that too. Look, I'm excited to see when they, right now it's individual drills and things like that, but I'm excited to see the ones versus the ones. I mean, for one thing, who's lining up ones versus ones? Who's, I can tell you for sure, like Kendall Lamb's going to be a one right tackle right now to start camp. I'm very interested to see what the corner group is to start. You know, and it would be, I guess it would actually be more like if Kevin Johnson hadn't retired, he probably starts as a one in camp. And then of course, if you're a Titans member of the organization or a Titans fan, you hope that before long, that's not the case, but now he's gone. So maybe it's more simple, but does a Border start out there? Does a Chris Jackson start out with the ones, you know, and then you watch the progression of that, but just to see some of these guys go against each other. I mean, it's pretty awesome stuff, you know, again, the way the NFL is anymore, practices are, even practices that aren't in pads like this one, are probably more revealing than a lot of preseason games.
Joe, before we let you go out to camp, I do have to read a text message from our good friend Heidi and Dixon on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi texting in, hope we win a Super Bowl for many reasons, but also for Mike Vrabel's sake, because his non-answers might get stale and might get him fired. So Heidi and Dixon, ready to see Mike Vrabel give a little bit better answers at press conferences, and hope they win a Super Bowl for his sake.
So she's not didn't enjoy the interview then. Is that what I'm to gather, Heidi? Hey, I thought I loved the joke about Vrabel's athleticism in his playing days. Yes. You got to appreciate those little moments.
Right. You do. That's right. Joe Rexroad, have fun out at Titans training camp in day one, and we will see you back here tomorrow at 6 a.m. on Robbie and Rexroad.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely, Joe Rexroad. We'll be providing updates all day long. You can check out his coverage of Titans training camp at Joe Rexroad on Twitter and at theathletic.com as well. Day one of Titans training camp today. Day one of NHL free agency today as well. Lots of things happening here locally, both with the Titans, and we'll see about the Nashville Predators as well. If you missed it earlier in the show, we talked about Mikael Granlund and whether or not he would be back with the Predators. Looking like that may not be the case. Pierre LeBrun reporting that Mikael Granlund is heading to market, and our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic saying that he has been in touch with Granlund's agent and that talks didn't get anywhere with the Nashville Predators. So it's looking very unlikely that Granlund will be back. Adam Vingan also reporting that it looks somewhat likely that Erik Haula heading to free agency as well. I think the quote was most likely heading to the free agent market, according to Haula's agent, Jay Grossman. This information coming from Adam Vingan for The Athletic. So, the two big names in free agency that a lot of Predators fans wondering about, Mikael Granlund and Erik Haula, looks like there's a good chance that maybe neither one of those guys back in a Nashville Predators uniform next year. If you missed it as well, Gabriel Landeskog has re-signed with the Colorado Avalanche, an 8-year deal worth $7 million per year. So another target Predators fans were interested in, not going to be available. And as Adam Vingan points out, Arvidsson gone, Ryan Ellis is gone, Cali Yarncroke gone, Pecorine retires. Now Granlund and Haula not looking like they're coming back to the Predators as well. Again, we'll see what happens on that front. Still lots of time left to go in NHL free agency, but this is going to be a very different looking Nashville Predators team next year, regardless of what happens from here on out. Lots of departures already. Cody Glass and Philip Myers have come in to join that fold, but a much different-looking Nashville Predators team that we're going to see on the ice next year. And you can catch a special edition of Preds Insiders tonight with Ryan Porth, breaking down all things NHL free agency and where the Nashville Predators stand in that mix as well. Michelle, it's been a wonderful day here on the program. You had your first edition of The Choice Is Yours as well. Great job by all involved.
Thank you, Robbie. It was a pleasure.
You've established a high bar for me next week as I go back to The Choice Is Yours as well. So we'll see if I can live up to that on that front. We'll continue to keep you updated all day throughout the day here on 102.5 The Game. Titans training camp, NHL free agency, everything is on the table. We've got it all covered for you all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That does it for us here today on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5.